Beyond the Dark on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.
Ladies and gentlemen, Beyond the Dark tonight, we're talking to Teresa Chung about a book called How to See Your Angels. Hello, Teresa.
Hello.
First of all, who is Teresa Chung? Tell us.
Teresa Chung is, I suppose you would call me a spiritualist writer because I write about matters spiritual and paranormal. I've been writing for about 20 years now on the subject, numerous books out there, and just thrown myself into the research of it for the last 20 years.
Why did you get into it?
Well, I was born into a family of psychics and spiritualists, so you could say it was kind of like chose me rather than the other way around. So it's kind of what I've always been used to and what I've grown up with all my life.
As a child, was it a problem for you?
It certainly was. Fitting in was very difficult when you have a mother who makes a living as a psychic counsellor. Yes, it was. And my aunt and grandmother were both mediums. So you can imagine it was quite an alternative childhood, to say the least. And I write about that in my books as well, because I wasn't born with the gift. I dearly longed to have it. I was surrounded by people who had the gift and who seemed to be able to see spirits, and I couldn't. And it was a source of great frustration as I was growing up, thinking, well, I'm born into this family, but I can't do it. But I still had this intense fascination with matters paranormal, and kind of found my way with writing about it and researching it. And that's what I've been doing, really, within huge encyclopedias. I've written 4 encyclopedias on it, which are sold all over the world now. And then about 10 years ago, I started writing about people who believe they've seen spirits of the dead or departed, and that led into the angel phenomenon, which, you know, there are quite a lot of angel books out there now, which I'm currently writing about.
We'll talk about that in a second. You have totally and utterly warmed me to you with the statement you made that you haven't got the gift. Now, really, if you were a phony person, you could have said, in fact, I have got the gift because my family have got the gift, and you could have made probably a great deal of money on the back of some people's miseries by saying, I have got a gift. So I really like you for that.
Oh, thank you very much. I really wanted to. I mean, I tried and I read about it. I mean, I attended so many courses and workshops because I, very much a child of the 80s, thought, well, you know, I very much believe that some people have these powers. So I thought, well, right, knowledge is power. I'm going to find out how you do it. I'm going to learn the way. I'm going to go through the courses and the workshops and find out and learn and study from my mother and from the people who can do it. But I was like hitting my head against a brick wall. But what I found when I was learning about it and meeting these people, that there were genuinely people who did have the gift and could see things, and I had no reason to doubt their integrity because there's certain things that have happened and that they've written to me wonderful stories and that I've researched and have found out to be true. So I discovered that, you know, it is there, just sadly I wasn't born with it. But I do believe that all of us have a certain amount of intuitive and psychic power. But we find it in different ways. I mean, for me, I see angels in goodness and people being kind and loving to each other, rather than maybe in the manifestation of a departed loved one, for example. I mean, that's for me how spirit speaks.
Was your mother frustrated that you didn't have the gift?
No, I mean, she was used to tell me that, you know, I just needed to have patience and that I would find the magic in my own way. I mean, she didn't. I mean, my brother went on to be a tarot reader and a psychic counsellor as well. So he was, but she just knew I had this hunger and thirst for knowledge and to learn about it. And that's where I found my way, really, because I've devoted my life to the study of it. People could say that I'm still desperately hoping that the doors will open and I will find it. But I find great satisfaction in talking to other people and gathering their experiences together. And what I've found is that when I've gathered these stories together and presented them to a wider reading public, which I've been very fortunate to do through my publishers, the response is phenomenal from people writing to me saying it's given them hope. Because we do live in difficult times at the moment, and a lot of people feel that they're without hope. And from what I've researched in the many years I've been doing it, I've found that we have a great deal to hope and believe in.
Teresa, you do realise you've just given yourself the title for the next book, don't you?
What is that?
The doors will open.
Yes, I mean, that's what. Well, it's a kind of psychic door, I hope so.
It's a great, great title. Why do you think it is? I know television has helped enormously, but why do you think that people are so interested in, I mean, your new book, How to See Your Angels, and books like that, the other one, An Angel Called My Name, why are people so interested in this?
because we're all looking for magic. We're all looking for something to believe in. We're all looking for... we all want to believe that love is stronger than death, and that goodness, the forces of goodness, will prevail over the forces of evil, and that's what these books are about. That, you know, that the terrible things happen in this world, you know, bad things, good things happen to bad things happen to good people, and you know that we're looking for something that can give us hope and a sense of meaning and purpose, and that's what I hope the stories I've gathered together, along with my own reflections and experiences, can give people something to maybe if. Maybe if they've had terrible things happening to them, they can read them and think, well, maybe there is a bigger picture out there that I maybe not understand in this life, but maybe in the next, that there is something.
On your journey writing these books, have you found a lot of people that make you angry, a lot of phonies within the, if you want to call it an industry, within the spiritualist world?
I don't want to put too bad now to anyone, but of course, I mean, in any walk of life, there are going to be people who would take advantage. But it's a difficult question you're asking, because of course, I'm sure that there is that in especially on psychic phone lines. I would be quite dubious about some of those kind of things. But then again, at the end of the day, I think if people feel better after having a conversation with someone who is a psychic, a medium, that person can point them in the right direction and make them feel more positive and hopeful about life. Can that be so very bad when they've maybe tried to get comfort from other sources and it hasn't given them that comfort? Because I think, you know, very much it's about, we have two choices in life. We can believe that there is nothing, there is no goodness, there are no angels, or we can choose to believe that there is hope, there is magic, the impossible can happen. And it's a matter of choice. You can choose something that's maybe going to make you depressed, or you can choose something that's going to make you feel better. You know, and I know which one I would choose and which would make me have a happier life.
It's interesting you say that. I am a non-believer, but I use...
believe in something.
Well, I was just going to tell you that I am a non-believer, but I will never poo-poo it. I have a psychic on my show called Phoebe who brings so much comfort to people, and that's exactly why I won't poo-poo it.
No, because, as I said, the people who have written to me, who have maybe had a conversation with a medium or a psychic, is exactly what you say. They just feel, and they sometimes I've seen lives transform from a simple conversation, and that's pretty miraculous to me. Mm. You know, and I've seen it. I've seen people's lives turn around because they're able to give them a hope and a comfort, which they can't get anywhere else in their life.
So what, what made you write the book, How to See Your Angels?
I've been writing angel books, and you know, the interest had been gathering over the years, because when I first wrote them, I really didn't think that it would get a large readership. I was more concerned with my research projects. I was writing about vampires and the psychic world and all sorts. But these angel books, suddenly the interest just grew and grew and grew, because I was collecting stories of people who've had paranormal experiences or encountered loved ones from beyond the grave and had written into me. And these people were not balmy. They weren't, you know, they're people from all walks of life, you know, from doctors to factory workers to farmers to hairdressers, you know, every kind of sphere of life. It was just starting to gather apace. And then my publisher suggested that, you know, a lot of people had questions, like, for example, what is an angel? You know, tell me about death. And to kind of do a how-to manual that would complement the true stories that I've been gathering together. So that's what I've done.
So what is an angel?
An angel, I mean, an angel basically is something that makes you feel good, positive and loving. That's in my opinion, because I think everybody has a different opinion on what an angel is, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you go from a religious perspective, an angel is a manifestation of the divine on earth, a messenger from God. But in my opinion, angel is anything that uplifts you. It can be that sudden feeling of euphoria that sometimes people have when they're walking along the street and suddenly they feel better about life and there's no explanation. And for me, that could be an angel flying by, or, you know, someone gives you a hug and you feel better. All these are manifestations of angels for me. Anything that can turn your life around, transform it and make you feel better about yourself and other people is angelic.
To do research for a book like this, are you not sort of banging your head against the wall? Is it not difficult to find research?
Oh, no. The thing is, when I started my first angel books, I would go, I did a lot of traveling because I used to live in America as well. I used to write for paranormal magazines out there, and I would get stories, and I collected them all together with my first book about 5 years ago now, An Angel Called My Name. That was my first angel book. And then in that book, I included my email address saying, look, if you've had any stories to me or you want to ask me any questions, please write in. And basically, after that, the stories just literally came flooding in, and they have now kind of, the books write themselves. I mean, I feel very humble, really. I kind of feel of myself as an editor. I mean, I get the stories, and then I will edit them to make them more readable, and then ask the person who sent them, is that okay? Do you want your name? Because some people are a bit embarrassed. They don't want their names there. And it's basically, my readers are writing my books now, which, you know, makes my life very easy, but it's also a very humbling process. And that's how it's happening. Because every book I write, I will include my email address, and people will contact me with their experience or their thoughts. And sometimes they're critical, and I'll try and respond. Sometimes they send me these amazing stories about experiences they've had that just literally make the hairs on the back of my head go up, you know, because they're so incredible, the stories. And I ask if I can include them in the book, and if I get permission, then I put them in. That's how it works now.
I'm talking to Teresa Chung, who has a book out called How to See Your Angels. Do tell us one of the stories that made, as you told us, the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Do tell us one of the stories.
Oh, there are so many. It's so hard to pick out anyone in particular, because I mean, each one of them is incredible. But stories of split second decisions that saved lives, stories of people's lives being saved by a mysterious stranger. I had a story in quite recently about a person involved in a car accident, and their windbag had almost suffocated them, and then someone came on the scene and held their head just in the right way to help them breathe. But then when the paramedics came, and this is all on record, the paramedics had no record of this person, and nobody knew where this person was. The person didn't stay on the scene. Who was that person? Mysterious stranger stories like that are quite common. You could argue that that's just somebody walking by who happens to have the right skills, and it's a marvelous coincidence. But, you know, what is a coincidence? Again, is that not the work of angels as well, done by people?
In your discoveries, did you find a dark side? Are there any dark angels?
Fallen angels, yes. I mean, I don't actually believe in the idea of fallen angels, although I do know that there are forces of evil in the world, and I try not to tap into that. I mean, people do talk to me about the other side, demons, but I very much feel that that's very much of a person's own creation. And I do try and stay clear of that in my books, because the books are all about being positive and uplifting. So I don't want to go down that path. But just as there are forces of good in the world, I also think that there are forces of evil in the world. And but I do believe that the forces of light and goodness are stronger than the forces of darkness, as is proved. You know, I was thinking with 9/11 recently, the messages of the people on the planes who knew that they were going to their deaths were not of hate, they were of love, proving once again that, you know, that the key moments in life, it's love that overcomes and transforms and heals.
Teresa, are they all around us? Have you discovered?
Well, you can see that. It's about, yes, I do believe they are all around us all the time. All the time. But, you know, people say, well, when, why don't they help me if something bad happens to me? Why doesn't an angel make it all better? But, you know, that's something we as humans are never going to understand in this life, why horrible things happen. Maybe one day, you know, maybe when we pass to the other side, we'll see the bigger picture. I simply don't know. But I do believe that there are beings of light and goodness, both within ourselves and all around ourselves. I do believe that, yes.
On the book cover, you have a feather. Is that mythical, or is that a fact? Do they have wings, do you think?
I think angels can manifest in any form people like. I mean, a lot of that's the traditional image of angels is, of course, with wings and flowing gown. That's the religious imagery. But for someone who isn't religious, and a lot of people sent in the stories, they haven't been to church, and they would not call themselves religious, and then they've had this experience which has made them think, whoa, you know, an angel may manifest in the form of a departed loved one, or in a voice in your head, for example, telling you to do the right thing, or in a sign, you know, that they see a feather floating down, a white feather, or a pick up a coin, and it just makes them think of something positive and enlightening.
Tell me, what do religious people think about your books?
Religious people, I do have quite a few people asking me what I think of Jesus, and you know, is it wrong to talk about angels when you're religious? But overall, it's been very positive actually. That I haven't had any, because basically, I always say that angels are non-denominational and they can basically fit into any religion, really, and they also work outside of it, and they are the only. You've never had a war fought over angels, but you've certainly had many wars fought over religion.
That's I love that. I've got this vision now. They're all non-denominational, so they're all just up there in a gang of them saying, "Right, time for us to start work now. Come on, forget the Catholics, forget the Protestants."
Exactly. I mean, they are a uniting force, and they appear. Various forms of angels appear in every religion: Judaism, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity. There are angels or beings that are very, very similar to angels. They are a uniting force that appear in all religions, but they are truly non-denominational. But I think the most powerful angel is the aspiring angel that's inside everyone, really, because there is an angel there. There is an angel deep inside each person's heart, you know, and that is the most powerful angel of all.
Now, where in your research and where in your mind do people who cross over to the other side and become spirits become angels? Is it a fine line?
Basically, I mean, that is actually a bit of a misnomer, because if you want to be very technical about it, people who die don't become angels, because angels are pure spiritual beings that have never lived on Earth. But I do believe that angels can work through the spirits of departed ones. That's what I believe. But if you want to be correct about it, people who die do not become angels, because that they become spiritual beings. But angels are pure manifestations of spirit, love, and light. So that there is a subtle distinction. But in my books, I tend to use the term interchangeably, because so often the work of the spirits of the departed and the work of angels has the same positive, uplifting, healing result, that for me, the two are interchangeable.
What do you want people to take from this book after they've read it?
I'd like them to wake up in the morning and think, well, maybe the person that, you know, is walking past me is an angel in disguise. Maybe the next moment... the next conversation I have, or the next thing I do, or the next thing I say, could change my life. You know, because every second of our life, you know, it has a potential to be magical and wonderful, and could change things for the better. That's what I'd like to say. What a wonderful way to live! To think that, you know, every moment of my life could potentially transform it for the better.
How can they find the book?
It says everywhere. It's in Waterstones, in Smiths, Amazon. I've been very privileged to have it a very wide distribution. But that's on the back of the Angel Storybooks, which, you know, charted in the Sunday Times bestseller for several weeks earlier this year and several years ago. So I'm luckily that I have the distribution. But again, you could say that's the work of a higher being. I would like to think so.
There is an angel looking after you without any shadow of a doubt.
I think there's an angel looking after everyone, but we just don't always see it sometimes.
Teresa Chung, the book is called How to See Your Angels. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.